Chapter 5. Getting to Know Tony. The following Friday evening, Tony rang the front doorbell at 8:30, and Mrs. Keough answered. By the time Eilish had got up the stairs from the basement, as Tony told her later, Mrs. Keough had asked him his full name, his address, and his job. "She behaved like your mom," Tony said, laughing.
"And what did you tell her?"
Eilish asked. "I told her that I'm a plumber, because I am, and that my name was Tony McGrath."
"And what's your real name?" Eilish asked.
"Antonio Giuseppe Fiorello."
He took her to a diner before they went to the dance, and they talked easily all evening. She told him about the boarding house, the other lodgers, and her job at Bartocci's. He told her that he was the oldest of four boys and that he lived with his parents. She thought that he was funny, and she enjoyed dancing close to him. After that, Tony called for Eilish every Friday, and there was a lot of talk at Mrs. Keough's about her boyfriend, the plumber. Then, one Friday, Tony asked her to come to a movie with him one evening after work. She had not told him yet about her evening classes, so she explained to him about being homesick and doing evening classes to keep busy. When she told him what the old man in the bookshop had said about her teacher, Mr. Rosenblum, and the Holocaust, Tony became completely silent. She had not seen him like this before. Later, at the dance, he seemed less boyish than before, and his smile was more serious. She smiled back at him, but quickly looked down, feeling frightened. Tony asked to collect her from college on Thursday and walk her home. Then, one Saturday, he asked her to go with him to see the new movie, Singin' in the Rain. She agreed, but secretly hoped that it was not because he wanted to spend 2 hours kissing in the dark. But in the cinema, although he put his arm around her and whispered to her a few times, he did nothing more. After, as they waited for the subway, he was so cheerful and had loved the film so much that she felt a great tenderness for him. Soon, they saw each other every Thursday and Saturday, as well as going to the dance on Fridays. On Thursdays, Tony met Eilish outside Brooklyn College and walked her home. He was always cheerful and talked a lot about his work and the people he had met that day. Each Saturday, he took her to a movie. Sometimes, if it was a sad film, he would be serious and silent after it, locked in his own world. He was not like anyone else that she had ever met. Eilish wrote to Rose about Tony and sent the letter to Rose's office because she did not want her mother to see it. One Friday night soon after, as Eilish and Tony arrived at the dance, Father Flood came to speak to them. He was friendly, but Eilish felt sure that Rose had asked him to tell her what Tony was like. Eilish was proud of the way Tony behaved. She wanted Rose to know that he was not like the plumbers in Enniscorthy. In Brooklyn, you could not guess what a person was like from their job. She listened to Tony and Father Flood talking about baseball. Tony was so excited that he seemed to forget that he was talking to a priest and that she was there. For the 6 weeks before her exams, Eilish did not see Tony on Saturdays, so that she could study instead. She promised Tony that after the exams, she would visit his home to meet his parents and brothers. Tony also wanted to take her to a Brooklyn Dodgers baseball game with his brothers.
"You know what I really want?" he said one day. "I want our kids to be Dodgers fans."
He was so excited at the idea that he did not notice the sudden change on her face. She realized that he was picturing marrying her and having children who would be Dodgers fans. They had been together for 5 months now and had never argued. He was thoughtful and interesting and good-looking. Everything was right, and they had the long summer after the exams to look forward to. But He had begun to tell her that he loved her, and so far she had not replied. She knew that Tony was moving faster than she was, and she had to slow him down. The following Friday night, as they walked home close together from the dance hall, he whispered to her once more that he loved her. When she did not reply, he began to kiss her, and he whispered it again. Suddenly she found herself pulling away from him. He asked her what was wrong, but she did not answer. His saying that he loved her and knowing that he was expecting a reply frightened her. It made her feel that she might spend her life away from home. Outside Mrs. Keogh's, she thanked him almost formally for the evening and went inside. She knew that she had hurt him and that he would be unhappy until Thursday. She did not want to see him any less, so perhaps she should just tell him that she did not want to talk about their kids so soon. But then he might ask if she was serious about him, and if she did not give the right answer, she might lose him. On Thursday night, he was waiting for her outside Brooklyn College, as always. But she saw him before he saw her. She thought that if she could watch him for a moment, it would help her to decide something. He was not smiling, but he seemed totally comfortable and interested as he watched the students coming and going. There was something helpless about him as he stood there, about the way he was so eager to be happy. And she made him happy. He had always made that clear. The only shadow was herself. She thought that he was as he appeared. There was no other side to him. Suddenly she felt frightened and went towards him as quickly as she could. He told her funny stories about his work and two old ladies who had wanted to give him a huge meal in the middle of the afternoon. He would not stop talking. As they got near her street, she turned to him. "There's something I need to say to you."
"I know that," he answered.
"When you told me that you loved me, I didn't really know what to say. So maybe I should say that I like seeing you. I care for you, and maybe I love you too. And if you tell me that you love me again, I'll..."
She stopped. "You'll what?"
"I'll say that I love you too."
"Are you serious?" Tony said. "I was expecting you to say that you didn't want to see me again."
She stood beside him, shaking.
"But you're not smiling," he said. "You don't look like you mean it."
"I mean it.
I just want to jump up and down to celebrate. Can I do that?"
"Quietly," she said, and laughed. He jumped into the air, waving his hands.
"Let me get this right," he said when he came towards her again. "You love me?"
"Yes. But don't ask me anything else, and don't talk about wanting kids who are Dodgers fans."
"What? You want kids who are Yankees fans or Giants fans?"
He was laughing. "Tony, don't push me." He kissed her and whispered to her. And when they reached Mrs. Keogh's, he kissed her again.